today we're going to wrap up the series together. I've enjoyed this month so much talking about the power of together, the power of being together. There's something significant that happens when we come together. And today we're going to talk about serving together. In Matthew 20, 24 through 28, it says this. In the Message translation, when the 10 others heard about this, the disciples, I'll set it up for you a little bit. So the two sons of thunder, the mom came to Jesus and goes, hey, I want my boys on either side of you when you sit on your kingdom. You got to love a mom who's got chutzpah. I don't know. Like, she just said she's going for it, you know. She's like, I want my boys to get what I know they have in them. And so she goes to them, and Jesus is like, you don't know what you're asking, honey. you don't know what you're asking. So when the 10 others heard about this, they lost their tempers, thoroughly disgusted with the two brothers. Does it make anybody else happy to know there was fighting among the disciples? I don't know why, in a strange sort of way, it gives me comfort. I'm like, oh, there's hope for all of us, right? And really, Oak River, it's amazing how little fighting there is. I'm so thankful for Oak River. But I just love that this example is given. So if we have a little tiff, we can still hang together, you know? If we have a little disagreement, we can still hang together. So Jesus got them together to settle things down. He said, you've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around, how quickly a little power goes to their heads. It's not going to be that way with you. Yes. Yes. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That is what the Son of Man has done. That was Jesus' favorite description of himself, Son of Man. I think that's significant. I think sometimes we forget that he was a Son of Man. We're so fixated on the fact that he was the Son of God, we take his humanity away from him. He was a Son of Man, too. This is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not be served. And then to give away his life in exchange for the many who are held hostage. I looked up that word serve that is used three times in that passage. That's why it's underlined for you, because I wanted to highlight it for you. The word serve, the original Greek word is diakoneo. Diakoneo is the way it's said. I hit the little sound thing on the computer like five times so I could get it right for you. Because I don't know Greek, but I know how to look it up. The information age is awesome. It's used 32 times in the New Testament. So there must be some significance to diakoneo. There must be some significance to the concept of serving, right? But what it means is to minister to another. It always cracks me up when people think being in ministry is so glamorous. I'm like, there is nothing glamorous about it. It's dying to yourself all the time. That's what it is. It's a beautiful thing, but there's nothing glamorous about it. There's nothing glamorous. It's a death to self. This is what Jesus is talking about. It's when you make a decision to set your own needs and desires aside and you minister to someone else's. Sometimes I do it and sometimes I fail. Sometimes you do it and sometimes you fail. But that's the example that was set before us. The second thing it means is so glamorous, to wait at a table, to offer food and drink. Are you thirsty? Would you like some water? Are you hungry? I can get you some more dessert. That's what it means. It changes the scope of it when you think of it in that term, right? This is why it was so significant when Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist to wash his disciples' feet. That was not a glamorous job. I would not want that job. I mean, those guys either wore sandals or went barefoot. We're talking about some serious feet problems there. And I'm already not a big fan of feet to begin with. But really, those, no, that's what it means. It means to supply the necessities of life. It means to take care of poor and sick. It means to serve someone else's interest. It's from the root word diakonos, which is used an additional 29 times in the New Testament. And that means one who executes the commands of another. One who executes the commands of another. So to serve is my ability to hear God speak to over someone, and then I lay my own interest aside and I serve them in some way. I think it's hard because as Christians, we know this. This is not new information. It's not like we've never been told our role is to serve. If you've been a believer for 5 minutes, you've heard this probably, right? The challenge for me is I get so overwhelmed with the need that I get paralyzed. Does anybody else feel that way? Like you know you want to serve and you know you want to help and it's in your heart to serve the interest of another, but there's so many people who are going, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I have this need, I have this need. Maybe it's not a physical need, but a spiritual need or an emotional need or whatever, and I get overwhelmed. So a while back, I heard someone say that she's a minister and she's in charge of a lot of people. And she said, I got overwhelmed by it, and this is what I did. I said, okay, God, here's what I'll do. I'll make an agreement with you. Whoever you highlight to me, I will know that's your way of saying it's time to serve that person right now. Instead of looking at the big scope and getting overwhelmed, if you just highlight someone to me, if I happen to notice them, if you point out something they wrote on Facebook, or if you just in a crowd, it's like I notice them. If I notice that person, I'm gonna understand that's your way of saying, go and serve that person. And when I heard her say that, it was like, oh, I can do that. Like that doesn't feel as daunting a task, you know? And I think sometimes rather than, did I drop that out of my pocket? I picked it up before service and then dropped it again. We're going to put it in here so I don't drop it again. If I don't get so overwhelmed by the size of the task and I just say, God, if you have someone you want me to serve, you just show me and I'll put my own needs aside. I'll put my own calendar aside for a moment and I'll find a way to serve them. For me, sometimes that looks like a text message, honestly. I'll just send someone a text. I'm thinking about you today. I'm praying for you. I just love this about you. And I'm thankful for you, you know? Sometimes it's a private message on Facebook. Sometimes it's a public message on Facebook, like I write on their wall because I feel like God wants other people to see what I see in them. Does that make sense? Sometimes it's a phone call, not as often because I'm not a big fan of phone calls, but sometimes it is. Sometimes it's a, like, can we go to Panera together and hang out for an hour, you know? Whatever the case may be, if we can make an agreement with God. God, if you'll highlight one person to me, that person, I will serve them in some way. I will put my own needs aside and I will serve them. I will ask them, are you thirsty? In a metaphorical sense, are you hungry? Serving is so fulfilling that after you get into a practice of serving, you almost feel selfish because there's so much gratification from serving someone that you almost feel like, am I doing that for me or for them? But it takes time to get into the practice of doing it. Like I said, sometimes I've been successful, sometimes not so much. Sometimes after the fact, I'm like, oh, I knew I should have said something to that person, you know? But point number one, we need to remember this above all. Getting filled with God's power leads to serving, leads to ministry. In Acts 2, 14 through 16, in the Passion Translation, this is after the Holy Spirit has been poured out. They've had this amazing experience where tongues of fire came down on everyone's heads, right? And they started speaking in a language they never knew. And the place was rocking, literally, the place was rocking with the power of God, so much so that people from all around town came running. What's going on there, right? I just love what happened next. The guy who couldn't even admit he knew Jesus around a little fire was ready to preach. He served. He didn't stay in his holy huddle and go, whoa, this is awesome. Let's just stay here forever like he did on the mountaintop. Nope. He was like, hey, let me explain this to you. I don't think he was defending himself. I think he was serving the people. I think he was ministering to the people, because he said, it says, Peter stood up with the 11 apostles and shouted to the crowd. Don't you love that he shouted? Because when he failed Jesus, you know, he was around the fire. He couldn't even whisper. He couldn't even go, yeah, I know that guy. He couldn't even do that. And now he's shouting to a crowd. I love that so much. Listen carefully, my fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. You need to clearly understand what's happening here. These people are not drunk like you think they are, for it is only 9 in the morning. This is the fulfillment of what was prophesied through the prophet Joel, for God says, and I didn't go any further intentionally because it's like a long sermon after that. You think I preach long? No, it was a long sermon. So I stopped there because that was the beginning of the sermon. The point I want to get to is that getting filled with the Spirit leads to serving. I think it's easy for us to seek getting filled and stay there. And then it's easy for some of us to go, no, no, that's a little weird for me. That's a little wacky for me. I don't think I want to speak in some language I don't understand. So I'm just going to skip that and go to the serving. How about if we just do both? How about if we let God fill us up so that serving comes from a pure place? Serving comes from overflow, not from whatever else. Selfish motives or unselfish motives, but in our own strength. How about if we get filled up with the Spirit and then let serving flow out of that? That's what Peter did. Then we see, the two I'm going to highlight today, we see examples from that time on in Acts, number two, of serving on the street. Serving on the street. Most of you know the story of Peter and John went one day up to the temple to pray. They saw a lame man and he held out his hand. And this is what Peter did say. If you know Sunday school from years ago, you know that song. You might not. I don't know. It's the story of the lame man who was being carried into the temple, but it happened on the street. And Peter and John didn't just pass him by and try to pretend they didn't see him, like I have done before, because I get so overwhelmed, you know, and I don't know what to do, and I don't want to contribute to a bad habit, right? And so I just pretend I don't see him. They're over here, you know? Peter and John didn't do that. They were filled with the Spirit, and they said, listen, we don't have any gold or silver for you, but here's what we do have. Be healed. Get up and walk. They served on the street. There's another story in Acts 5:15 through 16 in the Passion Translation that talks about serving on the street. It says, in fact, when people knew Peter was going to walk by, they carried the sick out to the streets and laid them down on cots and mats, knowing the incredible power emanating from him would overshadow them and heal them. Woo! Great numbers of people swarmed in Jerusalem from the nearby villages. They brought with them the sick and those troubled by demons, and everyone was healed. Yes, serving involves the supernatural. Yes, it doesn't always have to be a sandwich or a hot cup of coffee. Those are good things too. I love practical service. I do. But it can be both. It doesn't have to be either or. Again, we Christians, we get into these weird places where we think we have to choose this or this. And God says, I never told you to choose. Do both. Choose life, yes, over death. But I never ask you to choose healing someone or giving them a sandwich. How about you give them a sandwich and then you heal them? Or you heal them and then give them a sandwich, whatever the case may be. It doesn't matter. So I thought it would be fun if any of you have any memories in the last year of serving together on the streets. Something that you've done with people from Oak River, one person from Oak River or 15 people from Oak River, where we've served on the streets. Does anybody have any memories they would like to share about serving together? While you're, oh, you have one. Good, Rhonda.
We were given money from the church.
It's on.
And our Bible study group went out, and my favorite memory was what we went to Pennzoil, and these people were sitting in their cars in that, what is it called?
The bay. The garage bay.
The bay. And we went up to them and gave them money to pay for their oil changes, plus a little bit more. And they were shouting. The whole place was shouting. The guys working there, the people in the cars. It was just really funny. They were just shouting, thank you, Jesus, the whole
wow.
place. That was awesome.
That is cool. That is cool. Give it up. Yeah. Yeah, that's fun. Janet, you have something? Okay, good.
So between Thanksgiving and Christmas, Kylie and I went with Jeff and Sandy and a bunch of other people from the church to feed the, not homeless, but just those that don't have the means.
Mm-hmm.
And Kylie had gone with my parents before to Akron, but I had not really had the opportunity to do that. And I don't know if everyone, or if it was just me, has kind of a stereotype of who these people are. Not that they're bad people or anything, but...
Yeah.
But I must have, because I was so blessed by the experience. Kylie and I still pray for the people that we met there. We helped like prepare the food, but once everyone came, we didn't serve it. We sat down with them and talked to them. And they're people, just like you and I, with their own stories. And it was fascinating. I met this one man who was a World War II vet, and his son brought him there. And then I met another man who had come from... Italy, and he was kicked out of his own country, went to Italy during a political unrest, and then came here. And I could tell by looking at him, he shouldn't have been there. But he came here, and he had a cleaning business for restaurants. And he said, I was rich.
Wow.
I was rich. I made, in the 80s, he told me, I made $200,000. But it was all under the table. He paid no taxes, and here he is today, not able to work. And he was so bitter. And so we still pray for him to this day. Tryon was his name, because he made mistakes, but his family took advantage of him too. And it was so interesting. And I just felt so blessed from, you know,
awesome.
Learning about all their stories.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really good. Okay, Gail.
A little bit of a twist. So... six of us went to Rescue Village a couple months ago. There were three adults and three young people, And there's animals there that they take in, particularly in the farm section, that have been the subject. Can people hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Subject to abuse and neglect. Mm-hmm. And there was a mini horse. I forget his name. Mm-hmm. And he was missing an eye, and they don't know how he lost his eye. And he's not too good with people. And we were talking in a group, and he was sort of behind us, and all of a sudden I heard, and I turned around, and he was coming, he was looking at us.
Wow.
And
we went,
and then there was a llama who had been left alone to fend for itself in the field for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And the llama, one of the youngsters, was spending a lot of time around her cage. That's Marjorie, mm-hmm. not the youngster, the llama. Mm-hmm. And she eventually came over and started to eat. Mm. So I just want to say there were these two of God's beautiful creatures mm-hmm. who had been abused and neglected by humans, who were very responsive to, I think, the spirit that we brought
yeah,
to them.
Yeah, for sure.
And so we were able to give them a little bit. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, that's good. Did you have your hand raised? Okay.
It was probably, I don't know, 6 months, 8 months ago, we were actually chosen as a youth ministry, as one of the ministries here, to go out and spread love in the neighborhood. And we decided to buy a bunch of bags of food and go downtown and kind of just drive around and find homeless people. There was probably, I don't know, about 6, 7, 8 of us, something in the van. So it was kind of odd. We'd go find somebody, and then we kind of open on the doors, and we kind of rush them. And so it was a little bit scary for some of them at times, but we ran into a couple guys, and one of them actually kind of stuck out because Will had actually just hurt his knee, and we ran into a guy who hurt hit the same knee, and I remember Will prayed over that guy's knee, and it was just real interesting to see these people just totally change.
Yeah.
And then we met another guy. He was from, was it Argentina?
Like
Mexico. And he just got stuck here, you know, kind of transitioning through and everything. And he'd been stuck here. And it just made this guy's day. Like, he didn't know a lot of English. So thank gosh Lisa was there to talk to him. But it just made his day to, like, people cared for him and people were actually giving him money. So it was
awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. Oh, Nate. Well, people are pointing in two different directions. I can't go in two different directions, so I'll go here first.
You know I'm not really good at this.
Just but hold the mic close to your mouth.
A group of us went out, and we were giving money to people in Garfield. We started at the Goodwill. Mm-hmm. I remember when we first walked in, everybody was just like, they were afraid of us. Like, we, you know, hey, attack, you know. And we met a very nice lady there, and she had had some problems. We gave her some money and prayed with her and invited her also to come to church if she'd like. But the one thing I do remember the most was when we went to Mark's, and there was a man that didn't really have the money for his prescriptions. They were like over $200.
Wow.
And Ken, he had trouble with his knee, and Ken bent down and prayed over this man.
Mm-hmm.
And he said his knee was just like, it felt so great.
Wow.
It was just, you know, and to bless a lot of these people, it was just, it was so much fun.
That's really good.
Wish we could do it more often.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. That's good. Okay, Nate, you're last. You want to meet me halfway?
To add on to Josh's story, the one guy from Mexico, his name was actually Jesus, which is Jesus.
Yeah.
Which is Spanish or English.
Yeah.
Then also, we were hearing the stories of the guys. Well, for one, there were two of the guys were named William and Nathaniel.
Wow.
But one of the guys' stories was kind of sad and hard. Like, he came from Washington, like somewhere in Washington, and he left Washington because there's too much like death and sad kind of stuff like that.
Yeah.
But he came to Cleveland, like trying to get away from that. He just wants to find peace. It's all over the place, and he got stuck in Cleveland. Now he just wanted to go home. So he got stuck in a bad place trying to find peace.
Yeah. Yep. Wow. That's good. Wow. Thank you guys for sharing. I love hearing those. That is awesome. You know, walking in the Spirit doesn't end when you leave the door. That's what I wanted to you know, get across today. Serving and ministering doesn't stop when you leave. I know of one church that has a sign above their exit door that says, "You are now entering the mission field." You don't have to go to Timbuktu to hit a mission field, you know? And so I just love all of these stories that were shared. Then another way I want to talk about, the last way today I want to talk about, is serving each other. Serving each other. Because we see this in Acts as well. When you get filled with the Spirit, you don't just serve people out in the street, and you don't just serve people in here. It's both. And we see this in Acts 4:32 through, I have 32 through 27, but that's probably not right. 32 through 37 or 36, whatever it is. Okay, you can look it up. Passion Translation. The believers, all the believers were one in mind and heart. Selfishness was not a part of their community, for they shared everything they had with one another. The apostles gave powerful testimonies about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great measures of grace rested upon them all. Some who owned houses or land sold them and brought the proceeds before the apostles to distribute to those without. Not a single person among them was needy. I just love that so much, that it's obvious they were serving each other. And here's the tricky part about that. Even if you need serving, find a way to serve. I think I've heard so many people say, "I came to church and I was just praying somebody would reach out and do something for me, and I left," and they didn't, not here, but in my past, in earlier years of ministry. And in my heart, I don't want to have that approach. I want to come to church not thinking, "What can someone do for me?" I want to think, "What can I do for someone?" If I have a need, I'm going to trust God to meet it, you know? And many times it has come through all of you. But when I come through those doors, it's in my heart to look for someone who needs a special touch, someone who needs a hug, someone who needs a gift card, someone who needs whatever it is, a supernatural touch. Like, if we all came with that, that's what happened here. That's what happened here, and we see in Acts. They all came with the mentality that everything they had belonged to everybody. And it wasn't enforced by the government. It was enforced by God. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. Acts 6, 1 through 5, we see it also there. During those days, the number of Jesus' followers kept multiplying greatly. Of course, they did. When that kind of love is being spread around, of course there's going to be multiplication. But a complaint was brought. Ha! It doesn't just happen today. Happened then too. But a complaint was brought against those who spoke Aramaic by the Greek-speaking Jews, who felt their widows were being overlooked during daily distribution of food. The 12 apostles called a meeting of all the believers and told them, "It is not advantageous for us to be pulled away from the word of God to wait on tables. We want you to carefully select from among yourselves 7 godly men. Make sure they are honorable, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we will give them the responsibility for this crucial ministry of serving. That will enable us to give our full attention to prayer and preaching the word of God." Everyone in the church loved this idea, so they chose 7 men. One of them was Stephen, who was known as a man full of faith and overflowing with the Holy Spirit. I love that the Bible makes it so clear that when we come in here, we are to serve each other too. And I know, I haven't done any research, but I know that Oak River, our church family, has a very, very high percentage of people who volunteer in some capacity. It's very high. So you know about serving in the house. You know about serving each other. You're good at that. You're a blessing at that. And so I thought maybe you had a memory of serving in the house. Do you have a memory of serving each other or in the building? Do you have a memory you want to share? I'll share one as you're thinking. We had a cleaning day a little over a year ago, and there were quite a few of us who cleaned together. It was not glamorous. It was sweaty. It was nasty. You cannot imagine how much hair collects on these chairs. You really can't imagine. It happens. And we took a vacuum and vacuumed every, I'm guilty right here. There's one right there. couple of mine. I'm losing it fast these days. And we vacuumed every single chair in this building. I was so touched by the people who came to help. It was like a process. It was hard work. We did some spot cleaning. But there was such a beauty in serving together, and it connected my hearts with some of you in ways that were unexpected. I don't know. There's something that happens when you serve together that sticks, you know? It connects you. It weaves you together. And so I have a good memory of that. Anybody else have a good memory of serving in the house? Yes, Janet.
Today.
I had it on.
Okay. I don't know if you guys remember Kristen. She had come here with Josh from Atlanta, and then she's just returned. But since I'm in Splash, her son Copeland was, I don't know, maybe just a year old, and just shy of two maybe, and he would not come in there. He was crying, but she trusted the process, the nursery, and she left him in there. And he would cry, but he would hold on to me like, you know, he wouldn't let go. And I remember week after week, it probably took 6 or 8 weeks of just crying the whole time. And then finally one day, he was fine. And it just felt like such a win, like you just won the trust. And I'm sure she felt so good too, because that couldn't have, you know, been pleasant leaving him like that. But it was such a win to, you know, to gain
that's
that
good.
Trust.
Yeah, I'm glad you shared a nursery story, because we forget that happens sometimes when we're in here. But that there's some beautiful stuff happening in those rooms every single week. And I'm so thankful for our children's ministry workers who make that possible, who, believe me, when you go in there, you lay down your own needs and you serve. Don't you, Heather? You just go, okay, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about them. And that's a beautiful serving time, serving time. Anybody else have a memory you want to share of serving? Yes.
So mine is kind of like Janet. Well, I have two. Doug and I were in the nursery when JT, Colleen, and John Hummer's son was very small, and he would scream. You could hear him in here. And I remember they were just, and I mean, we kind of knew John and Colleen, but they were pretty. So we were like, listen, just leave him with us. We'll figure it out. We'll get it taken care of. And it was about a 6-week process. And every time Doug and I would be on, I'd be like, oh no. I'm like, Doug, he turned so red, like he stopped breathing. You know, he would like hold his breath. But so anyways, that, and then Linda and I work in the office together. And so there was one day we had the air conditioner guy come, and he's a little rough around the edges. And you know, I'm like, hey, how's it going? You know, he comes in, he's like, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. Linda's like, would you like some coffee? So anyways, we got to know him really well, and he was complaining about his knee, I think. Yeah. So Linda, she just, you know, she's like, well, we're gonna pray for you. So we get Sandy, we're like, Sandy! So we all huddle around the guy and we pray for him. And it really left an impact on him. Yeah. And he loves coming here. He really does. You know, we have to call him. We have to ask for him to come. And then the one day I was like, you know, we haven't needed anything on the air conditioning. Maybe we should just say something's wrong so we can check in on him. But he did come and we did miss him. Yeah, but I did get to talk to him on the phone, and he said he's doing much better. Yeah. But it is amazing what goes on in here when we're all not here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Anybody else? Josh?
I'm going to share about, like, we had a couple in our church, Ron and Doreen. What was her last
name? Loreen.
Loreen. I was close. Doreen, yeah. Loreen. And I'm going to pick on Doug for a minute. we had the men's Bible study, so we were challenging the guys to come and help them move. And we all assumed, because they moved a lot, that they didn't have a lot of stuff. which wasn't the case. when we got there, literally there was like boxes stacked up to the ceiling, and they were just kind of keeping stuff. They had like six of one item and 10 of another. And so it was pretty much me and Doug for the whole day. But then we had a couple guys come. And I think once they saw the picture, they kind of jutted out. And I just remember how hard that day was and serving with Doug and stuff. And how thankful they were afterwards.
Yeah,
and it just brings us together, I think, doing those small
things. It does. Yeah, it definitely does. That's what I see. It brings a connection that can't be replicated any other way. It can't be duplicated in any other way than just serving together. And so I just wanted to remind us, me and you, the value of serving together. Out on the street, in the grocery store, in the drugstore, in the homeless shelters, whatever the case may be, the value of serving together and the value of serving together in this house, in this place, into our church family, the value of serving each other, there's a value in that. And so thank you for sharing that with me or with all of us today, because somehow when you hear it, you go, oh yeah, I haven't done that in a while, you know. And we do, most of you notice our mission statement when you walk in: encounter God, extend love, experience life. And to me, serving is one of those ways that you can actually do all three of those at once. It's like a bam, bam, bam. You can encounter God, you can extend love, and you can experience life together. And so don't wait for me to organize something. How about that? Really? Call out. Absolutely. Just say, hey, I have this heart to go to the Rescue Village. Does anybody want to go with me? Like, just ask your peeps, ask your Bible study group, ask whatever, ask your family, whatever the case may be, and you will be amazed at how much ministry takes place in those kinds of environments. So thank you for listening today. And also, before we go, Josh and Lisa and I have been communicating about something in recent, probably in the last month, I would say, and I asked him to come and share his heart with you on it, and then I'll follow up with a little bit of my heart on it. And so over to Josh and Lisa.
We've been here, I think, almost five years.
Yep.
5 years, and it's been our honor to serve this church and to be a part of this church. In the last year or so, things have really changed for me as far as my job and things kind of coming up. So I'm actually going to be taking a step back and stepping down from youth ministry. We're not going anywhere. We're not like leaving or moving anywhere. I really wanted to thank some of the workers that kind of come alongside us, like Carly and Colin and Jordan. Mm-hmm. They've really helped us out and kind of built some things up. But I'm not going anywhere. I still love the kids. I'm still going to be pouring into their lives. And we're not going anywhere. We're just kind of praying through this next season and seeing where God leads us to go and what God calls us to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we just kind of feel like now is the time to kind of step back, take a rest, and mm-hmm. Really see where God wants us to go from there.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. What? I can tell that, the 19th, yeah. So we talked about it, and we decided that a good end date for them, because it's better for them to have an end date than to just go, well, we'll fade out. That's hard for them, and it's hard for the kids. And as he said, they've served for almost 5 years as our youth pastors. I'm so grateful. I've told you before, I'm so grateful for every seed that you've sown. Because in youth ministry, you sow a whole bunch of seed and you don't always see the fruit of that seed that you sow for a long time. And so it's a difficult job in some ways. It's not just going and partying with kids. It's harder than that. And I'm thankful for every hour invested. I know it's been a lot of hours invested. And just so you know, they have been completely volunteer. The whole time they've served as our youth pastors, it's been a total volunteer job. And so we decided that the good time to end that serving in that capacity is August 19th. So they're going to have a big beach day blowout with the youth as a way to say, you know, It's been a good 5 years, you know, and then we're going to give them a chance to rest. And I got to tell you, I respect the fact that their identity is not so wrapped up in what they do that they can take a break and still feel like it's okay. I am so thankful for that in them, because in a lot of, I know that's not always the case. And so I'm thankful that they're willing to take a break when they go, we need a break. He's working between 60 and 70 hours a week for his job. He needs time with his wife and kids, and he needs some rest somewhere in there too. And so I'm thankful for them. We're going to take the 19th, the Sunday the 19th, and we'll do some kind of a cookie reception or something for them as a way of saying thank you. And I, like I said, the youth will be having their own way of saying thank you at the beach party, I'm sure. So just give it up for them. And we'll pray over them on the 19th, and we'll honor them well. But we wanted to communicate today. Thanks, guys. Did I say everything that needed to be said? Okay. So I just want to thank them for sharing that with you. And just know that we have a plan. The elders and I talked on Thursday night, and we do have a plan for in the interim until God reveals our next youth pastor to us. And we'll be talking about in the days to come what that's going to look like, especially for the youth and for the parents of the youth. We'll communicate what's up. But I just wanted to let you know that it's happening so that you can really pray for Josh and Lisa, that something will change with his job. That's not good. And I told him, I'm like, I'm worried about you. I saw my dad work himself too hard, and it's not good. And so I just pray for them that God will really make himself known to them during this time, and that he will bless their rest, because blessed rest is the best rest. See if you can say that. So thank you, Lord, for these precious, precious people, every one of them who serve so faithfully, who love you enough, Lord, to serve inside this place and outside this place. God, I thank you that you don't ask us to do that in our own power, but that you fill us up with your Spirit to make that possible, to make it life-giving for us and for the people we touch. And so I just pray that you will, in the week to come, you will highlight people to us that you want us to serve. Whatever that looks like, God, if it means cleaning someone's house, if it means whatever it means, God, just highlight someone who needs some TLC from ORC, and that we will be faithful to do it. Lord, if you just show us what we can do, we will do it. Even if it's somebody completely not associated with Oak River, obviously. If it's somebody in our neighborhood, whatever the case may be, show us how we can serve those that you love and you want to love through us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Have a great week.